This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
If your goal is to convict someone of a crime, well, then people need to have trust in the system that's making that conviction. It needs to be on the up and up. There can't be constant improprieties going on or examples of incongruent behavior that just don't seem to add up to we're doing justice here and we're doing it fair and correctly. That's the question that a lot of people are asking of Delphi, Indiana, and the case against Richard Allen, the man accused of being the Delphi killer of those two little girls. It's a very bizarre case. It gets more bizarre by the day. And as Richard Allen awaits a trial, more questions arise to will he ever make it to that trial? And in quite legitimately, even the attorneys in a filing recently flat out saying, we can't represent him. We can't do anything for him if the system won't allow us to do anything for him. And it could be fatal at the end of the day, not only for the case, but for Richard Allen himself. Never a good thing when your attorneys are saying, hey, it kind of resembles Hannibal Lecter when we get to go and kind of talk to him through the food hole of the prison. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. I don't know a whole lot about the prison system in terms of how things work, but it is the prison system. And when you have people incarcerated, one of the first things that happens is you have attorneys. You have people coming and going that are going to need to communicate with their client. I found it very shocking that the current system where Richard Allen is incarcerated doesn't seem to have any clue about that and doesn't have any sort of accommodations for that to even take place. They threw him in the back of the kitchen to talk with their client. Let's talk about some of these principles first off, and just kind of how out of line it seems to be with what that prison system is affording their inmates.
It does seem to be out of line, doesn't it? The thing that struck me at first was, all right, this is a defense attorney doing what he should do is paint so distrust in the prosecution and the whole system, because he's following the line of thought of the previous attorneys. And good on him for that, because he seems into his client. So even if Allen doesn't get his last attorneys reinstated, at least this attorney seems to be there for him. So good. And so I was thinking that first it was just conjecture, but the one line he threw out there in his statements was that in all his years doing, what was he say, 18 years, 20 years? I don't know. It was a long period of time, that this is the first time these kind of constraints were put on him when working with a client.
Yeah.
That's what really struck me. And again, it goes back to what we've said on this case almost weekly. This system needs some oversight, because it is completely, as you so eloquently said a second ago, is completely destroyed trust in the process and the system out in Delphi. I don't trust it at all right now.
The amount of recklessness and that's being called out here, and there's nothing being done about it. It's like, yep, that's how it is. No, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I mean, if you want to get everybody out on appellate issues, keep up this way of running your prison system. Although here's the point in that. If you're in prison, a lot of your appellate options are already gone. Richard Allen shouldn't be in the prison system. He should be in the county jail system.
Right.
And that's where, we run into a lot of issues here, and it doesn't make any sense. It was a very lateral move. They did just transfer him from one facility to another state prison. And here's the deal. The representatives of Richard Allen by the state, we're talking 106 miles away from where they are located. Not exactly reasonable by any stretch of the imagination. 233 miles from the Wabash Correctional Facility. If you're just looking and playing along at home and going, seems they don't really want this guy to say something or to be able to communicate with his attorneys or get his day in court. One could easily make that assumption, considering how difficult they are making it now just for his counsel to get to him. I mean, and it shows a bit of a path, a trend, considering they booted off his previous counsel, who was right there. They were ready to go to trial. And then, nope, sorry. And now, okay, here's your new counsel. But guess what? We're going to make it insanely difficult to actually get there and represent your client. There's either something going on here that they don't want him to talk about aloud and to get out, or they're incredibly stupid on their optics and are biding their time here and hoping maybe he dies in custody.
Their criminal justice system out there certainly has its own arc of behavior, doesn't it?
Yes.
It continues to follow a pattern, and you used a great accurate word there of recklessness.
Mm-hmm.
Recklessness of justice and the system. And for someone who's just accused and not convicted yet, they're, like you said, they're treating him as if he's a convicted killer already. It makes no sense. And I'm keep getting curious and don't understand why there's not oversight coming in on this. Why, or at least broadcast that here's what we're doing at the state level to make sure that the community still feels safe and has a feeling of confidence in the system.
Yeah.
No one's doing that. Why? What is going on that is preventing them from speaking up and fixing this problem?
Because whether he's innocent or guilty, it goes down to the principle of all this. You can't process. Be treating people like this. And if you read the whole affidavit, it's ridiculous the way that his attorneys are having to try and communicate with him, like literally through the food hole in the door while right. guards are standing there watching doors, no privacy at all.
That violates
his rights right there. And if you care about justice, again, innocent until proven guilty. If this is going to be happening to someone who, if you assume he's guilty, it's still wrong. If it's happening to someone who's innocent, it's still wrong. It can't happen that way. It's the same way with the Alec Murdaugh trial. If there was jury tampering that went on, he deserves a new trial. Whatever you think of him, if the process got broken or was tampered with or had a glitch or whatever, and it did affect the outcome, then there needs to be some sort of fixing here. But you have account after account after account of all these issues in the prison system with him for months now. I mean, almost a year at least. And it's just kind of like, yep, that's how the system works. Is there no oversight? I mean, is that where we're missing here, where everybody's thinking, well, something will step in, some part of this system will go, well, we at least got to get that on track. Does that even exist? Or is it just kind of, you're the state prison over here being run like this, run how you want, nobody's going to question you?
You know, the greatest thing people can do to instill trust in a system, organization, or process is be transparent and open.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would love to see, and I think what the public, and especially in DeFi, would need to see is, what are the rules, process, and procedures for this prison system mm-hmm. for someone like Alan?
Yeah.
Objectively, here's what we have in place for this situation. Here's what we do, because the reason why we have rules, process, and procedures in the FBI, we had the DIOG, it was called. It's the Domestic Investigation Operations Guide. You know, it was a thick manual on how to objectively, keyword there, objectively, not subjectively based upon our opinion and intuition and feelings, but objectively investigate and do our job and do due diligence. And in this case, with the prison system there, what is their operational guidelines that they're following so they can at least defend or fix what's going on? Because there is a huge amount of look of impropriety that yeah. is not objective. It looks extremely subjective. And when you infuse, again, it doesn't have to be truth or not. It just has to be the perception. There's a massive perception of a subjective influence in this entire process against Alan
yeah.
without an objective due process.
Yeah, and that's what needs to be fixed. If they want to get to the bottom of this, then let's get the system on track.
And we need to see what that system is.
Exactly.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.